This morning we're going to be in what is he doing with this chapter? You'll figure it out in a minute. We're actually going to be in Luke chapter 11. We're going to be in verses 33 to 36. So Luke 11, 33 to 36. And as you're turning there or swiping there, this is a passage that looks at Jesus continuing to teach to and speak to the growing crowd. I say the enlarging crowd or the growing crowd. And he uses an illustration that he actually has used many times, but each time he's having a different nuance with it. Doesn't necessarily have the same exact meaning each time. So in this passage, we're going to be looking at one of his instances where he uses an illustration but has a specific meaning, and we can see it from the context of this passage. Now, before we read the text, let's have a word of prayer. God, as we look at your word and as we read your word, I pray that you are honored, glorified, and exalted by the reading of your word. I ask, God, that you would also move us closer to you through your word. Draw us to yourself and challenge us, convict us, encourage us. Whatever you need to do, you know each of our hearts. And do this through your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning in verse 33, this is Jesus continuing to teach. And so it doesn't have a prelude of he says or he stated. Jesus simply continues, "No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light." So in this text, Jesus uses this illustration of a lamp or light. Some call this the parable of the lamp, parable of the light. But he's talking about primarily light. And so what does he mean by the light, and what is the lesson he's teaching here? Well, a little bit of context. Jesus has been teaching, and the crowds were growing. He cast out a demon, which leads to some controversy and some debate. He is challenged by people. He responds to their criticisms. He then rebukes and chastises some of the people for their lack of faith, calls people to listen to him, to follow him, obey him, answers one of their main requests of a sign, says, okay, look at the sign of Jonah and the resurrection that will be coming from the time that Jesus said this in the future, for us perspective, our perspective, looking back, it's already happened. But now he gets to the light. Well, in verse 33, Jesus begins by giving us the parable of the lamp. So let's take a look at this parable. "No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand so that those who enter may see the light." Short parable. And this parable is kind of a, well, duh. The idea here is, in the house, it's dark, you want people to be able to see where they're going, so you light a lamp. You turn on the lights so the people don't run into the walls, don't trip over furniture, don't step on Legos because they hurt, don't step on marbles because they're just about as bad. I know from experience, those things are painful. I don't care if they're round or not, they hurt. But you turn on the light. But you don't light this lamp and turn it on and say, here's the lamp, and then cover it up. Because, well, it kind of defeats the purpose. If you cover up the light, you pretty much have no light. You might as well just leave it off. And so it's kind of a duh statement. Now, what is the light in this parable? The light, when you look at this in context, the light is a metaphor for the teaching of Jesus. Now, we can simplify it this way, the gospel truth, because that's what Jesus taught, the gospel truth. It's a very condensed version of describing his teaching, but this is a metaphor for Jesus' teaching. And the whole lesson here is how people respond to the teaching of Jesus. But he has this parable about not hiding a light. So I've got this beautiful lamp here. It is perfect for creating ambient light. It has multiple, as you can see, multiple light fixtures on it, creating, you can have a reading light, an ambient light, you can fill the room with light, you can put various bulbs, you can't see the bulbs, but trust me, there's bulbs in there, and this light, just like this lamp, would be perfect for hanging a sheet on. That will do you no good. Anybody see any light from this? It's useless. However, in our spiritual lives, we often do this. We have a light, but we have it all covered up. Now, how do we do that? Well, we'll get to that later on. So stay tuned. But he tells this parable. But in verse 34, he begins to explain a little bit about the parable. And what he says in 34 is he shows us that we must receive the light of Jesus' teaching. We must receive it. Now, take a look at verse 34. Some commentators say he switches to another parable. I see it as the same parable, just elaborated on, because he's continuing this theme of light. But in 34, he says, your eye is the lamp to your body. Well, he's already introduced the lamp. So the eye is the lamp to your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is full of darkness. So how do we understand what he's saying here? Well, first, know that this is not a biology lesson. This is a metaphor, an illustration. So if you really want to break it down into detail, it's not meant for that. It's meant to teach a larger spiritual point. So here, the eye is, referencing the actual literal eye. But what he's saying is the eye receives light, and when it receives the light, the whole body is impacted, or as he says, full of light. In other words, when our eyes receive the light waves, our entire person is impacted. And when he talks about the body, he's talking about the whole person. This includes not just our physical body. This includes our mindsets, our attitudes, our worldview, our behaviors. And so he says when our eyes receive light, our entire body is impacted. And when the eye is healthy, when it operates the way it's supposed to operate, it's going to receive light the way it's supposed to receive light, and the body's by nature going to be impacted. However, what's he say? When it's bad, end of verse 34, when it's bad, or you can say unhealthy, your body's full of darkness. Why? Because the eye is not receiving light as it should or even at all. And that person has nothing coming in, and so their person is not impacted by the light because it's not getting any. And so what do we have here? We have a lesson about receiving light. And as we've said, the light is Jesus' teachings. What he's saying is that we must receive what Jesus is teaching. And if we receive it, our entire person will be impacted by receiving that light. Now, you can have someone who's vision impaired go into a room full of light. They can be totally surrounded by the brightest light in the world, and they're not going to receive it the way they should. And if they're totally blind, they won't receive it at all. And so they're not impacted by it. You can be surrounded by truth. You can be surrounded by the teachings of Jesus. You can be immersed in it all day long, but if you don't receive it, it has no impact on you. You've got to receive what Jesus has said. So here we have this, light. We have this light. This light is surrounded by the lights in this room. We have the lights from the ceiling. We have the spotlights. We have lights over here, lights over there. Lots and lots of light. And in fact, this lamp is totally surrounded by electricity. There are EM fields all throughout this building. There's wires going all up and down these walls. There's wires down here. There's EM fields everywhere. This lamp is totally surrounded by what it needs, except that there's no light. And it's all dark. Nothing to it. Oh, but it's surrounded. Why is there no light here? Why is this lamp, despite being totally immersed in light, why is it producing no light? Very simple. It ain't plugged in. It ain't plugged in. It's receiving nothing. There's no power in this lamp. None whatsoever. Not plugged in. So many people today are like this lamp. So many people in churches are like this lamp. They go to church. Easy access. They go to church and they're surrounded by Jesus' teachings. They go to Sunday school. They're surrounded by it. They hear the worship going on. They hear the word being preached. Oh, they are just immersed in it. They may come every Sunday. They are just totally surrounded by it, but they don't receive it because they're not plugged in. In other words, they are not believing what Jesus is teaching. They hear the teachings, but they don't believe it, so they're not receiving it. In other words, they're not plugged in. It's not enough to be surrounded by light. It's not enough to be surrounded by the electricity. It must be received if it's going to impact this lamp. It's not enough to be surrounded by religion. It's not enough to be surrounded by Jesus' teachings. It's not enough to be surrounded by Christians. We must believe and receive what Jesus teaches if it's going to impact our lives. We need to get plugged in. So, continuing on, verses 35 to 36. Jesus has moved from introducing the parable to explaining that we must receive the light of his teachings. And in 35 and 36, he teaches us or shows us that his teachings must be believed and acted upon. Take a look at what he says. Therefore, verse 35, therefore be careful lest the light in you be darkness. I want to pause there for a moment. This is a warning against deception, self-deception or deception from others. He's warning against what you can basically say is false light or a false truth. There are many people who accept and believe things thinking that they're okay, thinking that they're right, but it turns out they're not. It's a lie. Oh, it may sound good. It may feel good. It may be pleasing. It may even sound Christian, but it's a lie. And they hear that, and they say, this person must be a believer in Jesus. And it turns out they're not. They have a false light, or as Jesus puts it, the light in them is actually darkness. Now, what are some examples of this? Well, one is, we can call it moralism. There's a view that if a person behaves morally, shows that they have ethics, they do the right thing, they treat other people well, that must mean that they are a Christian and a follower and believer in Jesus. No, not necessarily true. First, sadly, there are many people who profess Christianity who are absolutely immoral. But second, there are many atheists who are moral. Just because someone's moral doesn't mean they're a follower of Jesus Christ or that they believe what Jesus says. Another one might be affiliation or association. There are people who go to church every Sunday. They come and they sit in the chairs of the pews, and they're there from the minute the door is open to even after the doors are trying to be locked. They're there. The grammar proofreader in me. Sometimes people will go to Sunday school and they'll say, "Hey, I am at church." And there are people who will do things at church. They will participate in activities. They'll take, you know, responsibility for heading this up or volunteering here or there. Oh, they are totally affiliated and associated with Christianity. But if you ask them, "Is Jesus the Messiah?" "I'm not sure about that." "Do you believe Jesus when he says that he's the only way to heaven?" "Nah." Studies have shown that many churchgoers, many evangelicals, believe that there are multiple ways to heaven. They're denying the teachings of Jesus. Oh, but they're active in church. They're immersed in church. They are affiliated and associated with church. The affiliations and associations like that don't necessarily mean the person is a believer in Jesus. Or as Jesus might put it, it's a false light, a false truth. Another one is when we listen to false teachers. False teachers may sound good. They may put on a good presentation. They may be slick, and a lot of them are. They may even sound Christian. They may quote a few Bible verses. By the way, so does Satan. Satan quoted Bible verses all the time. Twists them, misrepresents them, misinterprets them, which is exactly what false teachers do. But they may sound Christian, and so people say, "This person is a believer in Jesus," not realizing that the person is actually teaching lies and leading people astray, away from Jesus, and thus denying the teachings of Jesus. It is a false light. Think about it this way. I don't have my phone up here with me, but imagine someone says, "I've got a picture of the sun on my phone. I'm going to get a suntan." Yeah, it's not the sun. It's a picture of the sun. It may look like the sun, but it's not the sun. You want a suntan, go outside. Wear sunscreen, though. Now, I want to describe an animal to you. I want to just describe some of the features and see what you imagine. This animal has webbed feet. This animal swims on a regular basis. This animal lays eggs. This animal, its mouth is a duck bill. Now, who in here is thinking duck? I'm talking about Perry the Platypus. If you don't know who Perry the Platypus is, Disney show Phineas and Ferb, our kids watched it. Great show. It's kind of in the genre of like the old Looney Tunes cartoons. But one of the characters on it was a platypus, a blue platypus named Perry. Yeah. These features are on a duck, but they're on a platypus, and the animals are not at all alike. The platypus is not a waterfowl. It is a mammal. Yes, it lays eggs. Don't ask me why God designed it that way. He did, probably just to give us a good laugh and to go, "Huh, that's interesting." But the duck and the platypus share a lot of characteristics. But the platypus is not a duck, and a duck is not a platypus. A false teacher may seem Christian, may share some characteristics with biblical Christianity, but it is not necessarily the same. A false teacher teaches a different gospel, and many people listen to it. Or to put it this way, If it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, looks like a duck, it may just be a guy in a duck suit and a duck collar. But these are ways, moralism, associations, affiliations, and false teachers, these are ways that people think they have the truth of Jesus, but in fact are following a false light. And as Jesus puts it, this warning, this caution, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. These people, they think they have the truth, but they are denying the biblical Jesus, denying his teachings, and thus are actually in darkness. So, verse 36, what must we do? Verse 36, well, as we said, both these verses teach the same thing. We got to believe his teachings and obey him. We got to believe what Jesus said and obey it. Take a look at what he says in 36. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, you will be wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, or totally bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. In other words, we have to receive that light so that it impacts our entire self, leading us to obey what Jesus has taught. We have to receive it. And when we receive the light, it says, if your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, totally bright. When we receive the teachings of truth, it impacts our entire person. And we will see that reflected in our actions, in our behaviors, in our worldview, in the choices we make and how we treat other people, how we prioritize things. This is all evidence, indications of whether or not we have received the teachings of Jesus or received the light. So, we now have, from this text, really, three questions from this text. First, which I alluded to earlier, or actually didn't allude to, outright said, how do we cover the light? How are we covering it? Second, how are we filled with the light? And third, how do we shine that light to others? Well, first, how do we cover the light? Well, one of the ways that we cover the light or hide the light is simply we don't get plugged in. We don't get plugged in. There are many people who come to churches, and maybe some of you here. You may believe there's a God. You may believe Jesus was a real person who literally lived and literally died, but that's about as far as it goes. You've never repented of your sin. You've never confessed to God, yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I am under your wrath. Yes, I am worthy of judgment. No, God, I am not worthy of anything but death. God, forgive me for my sin. And put your faith or believe in Jesus alone as your only hope of salvation because he shed his blood to pay for sin and physically rose again on the third day. In other words, you may be here at church, but you're not plugged in because you've never been saved. And so you may say, I have a lamp, but you're not a Christian. And the solution is to repent of your sin today and believe on Jesus Christ, and you'll be forgiven and saved. But maybe you are saved. Maybe you have done that. What are some other ways that Christians, professing Christians, can cover the lamp? Well, one way is that we may claim Christ as our Savior, but ultimately refuse to obey what our Lord has told us. When we say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and we, like Thomas, say, Jesus is my Lord and my God, but then declare, I'm not going to obey that rule or that commandment or that over there because I don't like them. We're covering and hiding the lamp. Now, how are some of the ways that we may disobey him? What are the things that he's, what are some of the things he's told us? Well, good news is you don't have to look too far to see them. And this is where you can see the larger text coming together. Let's take a look just through chapters 10 and 11 of Luke. These are some of the things that we are taught to do as followers of Jesus that many times we don't do, thus we cover the light. Luke 10, and this is in not in the order of the text, just a different order. First, Luke 10, verses 21 to 24. When we are not knowing Jesus, that is, we don't have a personal relationship with him, that relationship we have is not growing, then we're hiding, we're covering the light. Luke 10, verses 25 to 37. When we're not showing love to other people, then we're hiding the light. Luke 10, verses 1 through 20. When we're not sharing the gospel of Jesus with those around us, we are hiding the light. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. When we're not learning from Jesus, when we're not spending time getting to know what he said in his word, then we're hiding the light. Luke 11, verses 1 through 13, when we're not depending upon God, but instead are depending upon ourselves, then we're hiding the light. And then Luke 11, verses 14 to 32, when we're not submitting to Christ, but saying, sorry, I'm number one, my priority's first, my agenda comes before yours, God. Sorry, it's my time, not yours, God. And putting God on the back shelf, then we're hiding the light. It's like having a lamp and saying, hey, I've got this lamp here. Turning the switch, it's nothing there. It's time to start obeying what God has said instead of hiding the light. So that's how we cover or hide the light of truth of what Jesus is teaching us. So the next question, how are we filled with the light? How do we get filled with the light? Well, first and foremost, get plugged in. Get plugged in. What do I mean by that? As I said before, repent and believe on Jesus. Be forgiven and saved. When a person repents and believes on Jesus, that person is forgiven, they are saved, they are given the Holy Spirit the moment they are born again. And when are they born again? When they repent and believe on Jesus. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. We learn that from Ephesians. And so they have the power of God in them. This lamp right now has electricity flowing through it. It has all the power it needs to shine light. It has everything it needs. If you took these bulbs out and stuck your finger, don't stick your finger in there, but if you did, it would hurt and be dangerous. Why? There is electricity in there because it's plugged in. Shine, you know, the way we're filled with the light of Jesus, first, we get plugged into Jesus by being saved. But then, we must begin to shine the light. How do we shine the light? Turn it on. Okay. We turn on the light. How do we turn on the light? We believe what Jesus says. We accept what he teaches us as truth, because it is. We receive it, but then we obey it. We do what he tells us. Hearing the word, but not obeying it, there's no light shining. It's hidden. We must obey the word that Jesus gives us. Now, you may be wondering, how do I know if I am shining the light? How do I know if I have the light in me hidden, covered, or is it shining? Look at your life. As I said, the indication that we have received, believed, and are living out the truth of Jesus or the light is in our actions, in our attitudes, in our worldview, in our behaviors and choices. So look at those things. Those are the indicators. How do we know this light is shining? Because we can see, as Jesus put it, the light rays. As when a lamp with its rays gives you light. We can see the light coming from the bulbs. And so because we can see the light, we know there's electricity in here. And so we know it's plugged in. It's connected. We know what's on the inside because we can see it coming out of the outside. Look at your actions. Look at your behaviors. Look at your attitudes. Look at how you see the world. Look at how you see those around you. Look at how you treat others. Are you shining the light? Or is it off? That's the question before us today. Have you received the light of Jesus? Have you received, or to put it this way, do you believe what Jesus teaches? I pray you do. If you do not believe what Jesus teaches, and you say, this is all well and good, but it's not for me, you're full of darkness. You're full of darkness. But if you do believe what Jesus says, and you say, yes, this is my Lord's teaching, I fully believe it, are you living it? Is the light shining? If not, if you have not been plugged in, and that's the first step, if you are not plugged in, if you are not saved, if you're wondering, am I even a Christian? Today's the day to find out. You have today. You have this moment. You don't have the next moment guaranteed to you. But you have right now to say, I need to know this Jesus. I need to be saved. I need to repent and confess that I believe in Jesus. As you look at your life, if you see that the light is not shining, today is the day, now is the moment to say, God, turn on that light switch in my life. God, turn on the light. Let it shine through me. Let God do whatever he needs to do. Let the Holy Spirit work in you in ways that you have not seen him work before, and begin shining the light of Jesus' teachings in your life. Whatever your need is today, make that decision today.